Israeli regime keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery. Palestinians laid to rest the family members of the Hamas political bureau chief who were assassinated in an Israeli airstrike on Gaza. And Israeli forces have conducted fresh violent raids on the occupied Palestinian territories. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. More deaths and destruction have been reported as the Israeli regime keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery. According to Gaza's health ministry, Israeli strikes across the Gaza Strip killed 63 people and wounded 45 more over the past 24 hours. The latest fatalities have pushed the overall death toll in Gaza since October 7 to more than 33,500. In the latest Israeli strikes, at least 8 people were killed in the southern district of Rafah. Another 5 Palestinians lost their lives after Israeli warplanes targeted the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Also, Israeli tanks shelled residential complexes in the Zahra neighborhood, north of Nusayrat, and damaged houses there. The Al-Shati refugee camp, west of the besieged territory, was not spared, and 5 Palestinians were killed there. Earlier, our correspondent Muti Abu Musaba joined us from the central Gaza city of Darabala and gave us the latest about the situation in the war-ravaged strip amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught there.
Yes, actually, the Israeli occupation forces intensified and concentrated their airstrikes and attacks against the central area of Gaza Strip generally and against the northern part on the outskirts of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, basically, as the Israeli fighter jets and the Israeli warplanes carried out several airstrikes against those areas that reached Al-Amal town, which is located, as you know, in the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, and even Al-Mughraga town. They were under heavy bombardments of the continuous and the chronic Israeli airstrikes. In addition to that, the Israeli artillery also maintained its shelling towards those areas. Over the last hour, the Israeli occupation forces and the Israeli artillery shelling targeted the gate of a school that was taking shelter as by the Palestinian evacuees in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. At least 5 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over the attack. In the meantime, 2 other Palestinians were reportedly killed as a result of the continuous and the ceaseless Israeli artillery shelling that is still hitting those areas till this moment. As we speak right now, those parts actually are still subjected to heavy bombardments of the Israeli artillery shelling. It was a horrific night for the Palestinian people there. In the meantime, the eastern outskirts of the central area of Gaza Strip were subjected to heavy bombardments of the artillery shelling, particularly the eastern part of Deir al-Balah and al-Maghazi refugee camp, as the Israeli artillery shelling and was maintained against those areas amid continuous and heavy gunfire of the Israeli choppers and the Israeli helicopters against those areas.
Palestinian mourners have laid to rest the family members of the Hamas political bureau chief and several others who were martyred in an Israeli airstrike on Gaza. The burial ceremony was held in Gaza City. On Wednesday, 3 sons of Ismail Haniyeh, identified as Hazem, Amir, and Mohammed, were killed after the regime's warplanes hit a vehicle in the Al-Shati refugee camp in northern Gaza. 4 grandchildren of Haniyeh were also among those killed. It was a targeted attack on Eid al-Fitr day, which marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan. People on the besieged strip celebrated the occasion in the shadow of the ongoing Israeli genocide. Several Palestinians were in the streets at the time of the deadly Israeli strike. Some of them recount the harrowing moments of the attack.
We were still near the school. They were here to visit the families of the martyrs. When we heard the sound of a strike nearby, we went outside to see, and they said it was the children of my uncle Abu Abed Haniyeh. There are bodies and body parts after they targeted the car, and there were 3 missiles from a drone fired by the Israeli forces.
Sons of Ismail Haniyeh, head of the Hamas political bureau, 3 of them were driving in the car. They were there and 3 drone strikes hit. 3 sons of Haniyeh and 3 of their children were hit. Their body parts went everywhere. There are even some remains on our house. We found a hand and a leg. There are body parts anywhere you look.
Ismail Haniyeh reacted to the martyrdom of his family members, saying their blood will only boost the Palestinians' resolve to resist the Israeli occupation. Meanwhile, a chorus of condemnations and condolences poured in over the Israeli killings. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement condemned the atrocity, calling it a war crime and a barbaric massacre. Yemen's Ansarullah movement said that such sacrifices strengthen the steadfastness of Palestinians against the occupying regime. Lebanon's Hezbollah, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and Iraq's Islamic Resistance also offered their condolences to Haniyeh. Iran also condemned Israeli airstrike, with President Ibrahim Raisi saying that this shows Israel's disregard for all human and moral principles. He said the crime further exposes the savage and child-killing nature of the regime. Separately, Iran's foreign minister said that Israel's criminal actions will speed up the regime's collapse. Charlotte Cates is an international coordinator of Samadun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network. She joined us from Vancouver with her take on Israel's targeted killings, including family members of Palestinian resistance leaders and fighters.
The Zionist regime has consistently used assassinations as a mechanism of warfare against the Palestinian people and as a mechanism of genocide, because these assassinations are meant to deny the Palestinian people fundamentally their self-determination through assassinating leaders, through assassinating leaders' families. Right now what we're seeing is this is what the Zionist regime means by negotiating a ceasefire is killing the children and grandchildren of Ismail Haniyeh. And of course, this isn't restricted to Palestinians. The notorious crime that the occupation regime just carried out last week in Syria, attacking the Iranian embassy and murdering people, including Iranian generals and leaders. This is a strategy that the Zionist regime uses in the belief that by engaging in these campaigns of terror, they'll be able to wipe out the resistance or take away the knowledge and leadership that the Palestinian people and the regional forces need in order to resist and win victory. But one thing has been clear throughout this entire history of decades and decades of assassinations and decades of criminal war crimes is that none of this has done anything to legitimize the Zionists nor to crush or kill the Palestinian people and their resistance.
Israeli forces have conducted new raids across the occupied West Bank. They abducted a number of Palestinians in their latest attacks. Our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kandil gives us more details.
We were speaking about Israeli military incursions to Mutul Karim and to areas in Al Khalil, but now we are speaking about Israeli military raids to Tul Karim, to Al Khalil, to Jenin, to Nablus, to Al Amari refugee camp in Ramallah, as well as to settlers' aggression in the area near Nablus. So the Israeli forces had, as usual, expanded their military incursions to several areas across the occupied West Bank. In Tul Karim, the Israeli forces stormed the area of Shweke and arrested at least five Palestinians from there, including one former or ex-Palestinian prisoner. In Al Khalil, the Israeli troops stormed Idna and Beit Umar, attacked Palestinians, raided the homes, questioned the people there. The exact number of the Palestinians who had been detained is not known, those who were arrested in the areas of Al Khalil. The Israeli forces had also stormed the town of Aurif, south Nablus, and they attacked Palestinians there. They forced their way into the homes away. In addition to Aurif, the Israeli forces stormed the village of Azzoun, east Qalqilia. In the last 4 days, let's say, the Israeli forces has been storming the villages of Azzoun and Jayus almost on a daily basis. A Palestinian has carried out a shooting several days ago, and the Israeli forces are still searching for this Palestinian who carried out the shooting at Israeli soldiers and settlers in an area between Azzoun and Jayus near Qalqilia. And every day the Israeli forces are storming these areas, raiding the Palestinians' homes and questioning them, and they are looking for this Palestinian.
A new report says Israeli forces have abducted more than 8,000 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since the regime's genocide in Gaza started. We earlier discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen.
News review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. On this segment of the program, the Israeli regime continues its campaign of abductions across the occupied Palestinian territories. A new report says the regime's forces have abducted thousands of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since the onset of the onslaught on Gaza, according to the Palestinian Prisoners Society and the Commission of Detainees and Ex-Detainees. Israeli forces have abducted over 8,100 Palestinians since October the 7th. They added that the Israeli occupation forces kidnapped some 20 Palestinians in the past 24 hours alone, the majority of them hailing from the city of Tul Kara. Israel's arrest campaign in the occupied territories escalated in an unprecedented manner after the regime's genocidal war on Gaza started. More than 400 Palestinians have also been killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank since then. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have political analyst Karim Sharara joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Also, we have Ms. Nadia Salimi, journalist, joining us from Brussels. Welcome to the program, to the both of you. Let's start off with Mr. Sharara in Beirut. I want to get your thoughts on the recent report about the number of Palestinians kidnapped since October the 7th. But what about all those Palestinians kidnapped before that?
Well, where to start? Look, if you want to talk about just sheer numbers, as you said, they're in the thousands since October 7. Of course, a number of them have been released, but it's not like the Israelis released them out of their own sheer goodwill. Look, this is all part of a strategy, a decades-old strategy, a decades-long strategy, just to make the presence of the Israeli occupation forces felt in the West Bank. They're meant to preserve their presence. They're meant to make the Palestinians feel that they are not just present, that they're able to basically do whatever they want. It's a decades-old strategy. It's been implemented particularly after the signing of the Oslo Accords. It's been before that, but they had basically free rein to do so after the Oslo Accords and the Camp David Accords.
Ms. Salimi, your thoughts on the issue as well. This report does focus on Palestinians that have been kidnapped since the October 7th Al-Aqsa storm, but thousands of Palestinians had been languishing in Israeli jails with no charge or trial, many of them women and children who've been kidnapped by the Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank.
The numbers have shocked me, honestly. The extension of settlements with 24,300 units being approved. There have been a report of 9,700 attacks against Palestinian residents and their properties, not just by the military forces, but also by the settlers. And there has been an increase of checkpoints. There's 840 new checkpoints and gates in the West Bank. And I just spent the past month there. I have to say it was incredibly difficult to get from place to place because of all these increased checkpoints. The wait time was enormous. So a lot of people who have family members in a town right outside of their own town simply cannot visit or have to spend the entire day willing to travel to visit their family members. It's once again Israel showing they have impunity. The world does nothing. They have an ongoing genocide going on in Gaza, and in the meantime, they are getting more and more violent with people in the West Bank who have absolutely nothing to do with anything that happened on October 7th. They cannot just keep playing the Hamas card and the self-defense card because in the meantime, they simultaneously also attack people who have nothing to do with either of those arguments. So it's very disturbing to see. The people are also suffering in the West Bank. A lot of the people used to work in occupied territories outside of the West Bank, and they lost their jobs or they're no longer able to travel. So they just no longer have an income. The tourism obviously has decreased massively. So it's all part of the collective punishment, and it's horrible to see.
Thanks to my guests, political analyst Karim Sharara joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, and thanks to journalist Nadia Salimi joining us from Brussels. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review, but stay tuned, we've got plenty more to come here.
Nicaragua has announced the closure of its embassy in the German capital, Berlin. Nicaragua's consular tasks and official businesses in Germany will now be handled by its embassy in Austria. The Central American nation took the move amid its row over Germany's arms sales to the Israeli regime. Last month, the government of President Daniel Ortega filed a case at the International Court of Justice against Germany for giving financial and military aid to Israel and for defunding the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Managua accused the European country of facilitating the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The ICJ held two-day hearings on the case this week. Nicaragua hopes the top UN court would issue provisional measures to stop Germany from arming Israel. Millions of Muslims celebrate Eid al-Fitr worldwide, marking the end of the holy fasting month of Ramadan. This year's Ramadan came as Israel's war in Gaza continued unabated and claimed more civilian lives even during the holy month. Fatima Masami reports from the Iraqi city of Karbala.
Muslims around the world are celebrating Eid al-Fitr, which marks the conclusion of the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, the month of the Holy Quran, and the month of prayer and piety. Muslims mark the Eid with mass prayers and gather together for special prayers and contribute financially to charitable causes. The celebration of the Eid emphasizes the values of spiritual upliftment, unity, and generosity towards those who are in need.
I came here to Karbala for Eid al-Fitr Salat, I mean the prayers of Eid al-Fitr. And what I witnessed was this beautiful solidarity among Muslims from different countries and cultures. For many people, Eid al-Fitr is more than a religious holiday, and it is a time for renewal and hope. And I think these days, not only Muslims, but also the whole world need this solidarity and fraternity, especially in the case of Gaza and the innocent children of Gaza.
The holy month of Ramadan holds immense significance in Islam and for Muslims worldwide. The month of fasting also marks the revelation of the Holy Quran to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The birth of Imam Hassan, the second Shia Imam, also falls in this month. So does the martyrdom of Imam Ali, the first Shia Imam and the leader of the believers.
This year's Eid al-Fitr is simultaneous with an international uprising which is within our humanistic nature and value and has awakened many Muslim countries. The Israeli regime's atrocities are clear to all nations and religions and it is impossible to stay silent. The real aid will be when the Palestinians are settled in peace in their own land and the Israeli regime is wiped out from the world and everyone is greeting each other for this victory.
This year's Eid al-Fitr came amid Israeli-U.S. genocidal war on Gaza. The incessant, devastating war continued to claim civilian lives even during the holy month, with fasting Palestinians losing their lives to Israeli atrocities and barbarism. Palestinians' plight in the war-torn Gaza is the most important issue of the Muslim world today. The war has dehumanized the entire Palestinian population in Gaza and decimated the life there. The Palestinians have sacrificed everything that was dear to them, their children, spouses, mothers, fathers, and their homes, but remain committed to their faith and their resistance to the Israeli occupation.
The holy month of Ramadan was not just about fasting, but also about Muslim unity, in particular against injustice. This month, we sympathize with Palestinians in the war-torn Gaza and express solidarity with our brothers and sisters who are enduring the most savage crimes seen in modern history. Fatima Masumi, Karbala.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now. We'll be right back.
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime is intentionally starving people in the Gaza Strip, which has resulted in full-scale famine in the besieged territory. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Farifa Hamad is in her 70s. Although she has witnessed a huge amount of brutality in her life, she has never experienced anything worse than the current genocide by the Zionist regime. It is the first time that she has ever suffered from extreme hunger. Farifa stayed in Beit Hanun, northern Gaza, for a number of months after the Zionist regime declared its war during October. Yet in recent weeks, the situation became so serious there that she moved southwards. For 2 months, Farifa had to bake bread using animal feed. She said, "We had no other choice, otherwise we would die of starvation." As they lacked fuel, Farifa and her husband had to burn their own furniture and clothes so that they could cook a little bread. Flour and other food items have been unaffordable when they can be found in markets. A can of peas has been priced at $8 in the north of Gaza recently, whereas it would sell for only around 25 cents before the war was declared. Apart from bread made with animal seeds, Farifa and her husband have had to eat leaves from trees and paper. For the few days before she left northern Gaza, Farifa had nothing but salt. She said, "The salt raised my blood pressure. I began to feel dizzy and I could not see clearly." She added, "I didn't know if I should keep eating salt and die of high blood pressure as there was no medicine in the city, or should I stop eating salt and die of hunger?" Farifa's journey to southern Gaza was arduous. As Farifa was weak, her husband had to drag her on a wooden panel for hours on end. He had to stop and rest every so often. Farifa fainted in the last hour of the journey. Some people came to her aid and sprayed her with water. When she regained consciousness, she drank some water and ate a few dates that people they had just made gave to her. Farifa and her husband were given more food when they arrived at Deir al-Balah refugee camp. She said, "My tears started falling when I saw some real bread. I had nearly forgotten what it tasted like." She was able to eat sandwiches containing meat from a tin, cheese, and hummus. She said, "They tasted delicious." Khaled, Amir, and Saad are three children whose parents were killed by the Zionist regime during the current genocide. For months afterwards, they had just one meal per day. It consisted of fried potatoes, often potatoes that were rotting, or bread soaked in water. They obtained a little flour when 8 trucks managed to enter the northern part of Gaza. The flour was leaking from an 8 truck. It was just enough to bake a little bread, the first fresh flour-based bread that Khaled tested in more than 2 months. Khaled took a major risk to obtain that small amount of flour. The truck from which he got the aid had been driven to Arashid Street, southwest of Gaza City, on February 29th. The Zionist regime killed at least 118 Palestinians waiting for aid on that day. For a number of days, the children had nothing to eat at all. Their weights dropped drastically. Khaled said, "I passed out from starvation." He was rescued by some neighbors who gave him sugar, some bread, and canned beef. Without anyone to provide for them, the children moved southwards. They did not know where to go, so they just followed others. Along the way, they succeeded in meeting up with an uncle. Eventually, they arrived in Deir al-Balah. They are living in a tent. Abida Abu Esma, 67, had to leave her home in Gaza City's Beish refugee camp during the current war. She was staying at a school located in Jabalia area when it was invaded by the Zionist regime troops. Her husband was taken into detention during the invasion. Abida's husband had previously been imprisoned for 7 years by the Zionist regime. Initially, she remained at the Jabalia school after the Zionist regime troops took her husband away, yet she had to leave it when food ran out completely. She fell during her journey of evacuation. A paramedic helped her, and she tried to walk again, but it was too painful. As a result, the paramedic had to carry her on his back until they reached Deir al-Balah. She is taking shelter in another school there. Books from its library are being burnt for heat and for cooking. Her husband remains in detention, and she hopes she will still be alive when he's released. She said, "At least we won't die of hunger here in the south. It would be better to be killed by bombing than by starvation."
ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Congratulations to everyone for completion of 30 days of fastings and observing the rituals of the month of Ramadan. Whether, depending on where you're located, in this world. Whether today is your Eid or you have already celebrated your Eid al-Fitr, Eid Mubarak to each and every one of you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us another opportunity and more opportunities in our lifespan to inshallah go through Ramadan and stick to the sweetness and achievements of this holy month throughout our entire life, and make beautiful habits of this month to be constant and permanent and stable and enhanced for the remainder of our lives. We have been together talking about the du'as of the beautiful book Sahifa Sajjadia, the legacy of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and we got to the part that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being called by this title, وَيَامًا وَعَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بِتَفَضُّلِهِ حُسْنَ الْجَزَاءِ. O he who has pledged himself by his gratuitous bounty to give them excellent repayment. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to know him right, he is known by repaying you excellently, better than anyone else, better than any other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. He creates us and he let us grow, and then for all the blessings and all the na'amat that he has given us and he has bestowed us with, he will repay us the best and the most excellent way. Let's take a break and come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana. Rabbana.
Alright, respected listeners to RIB English Radio, indeed you're enjoying your time of Eid with your family, friends, with your community members, the members of your local masjid that you've been becoming almost like a family in the past 30 days. This part of the dua, the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadia, where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam calls upon Allah by this title, وَيَامًا وَعَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بِتَفَضُّلِهِ حُسْنَ الْجَزَاءِ. O he who has pledged himself by his gratuitous bounty to give them excellent repayment, reminds me of a beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says in that hadith, من أراد الله عز وجل بالقليل من عمله أظهر الله له أكثر مما أراد الناس بالكثير من عمله في تعب من بدنه وسهر من ليله أبى الله عز وجل إلا أن يقلله في عين من سمعه. There's a beautiful hadith that means, whoever does a little deed for God the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him more than what he wanted. And whoever does a lot of his deed by enduring physical suffering and staying up late for people, God Almighty will show his deeds in the eyes of those who they hear his actions to show little. This is the consequence of working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Little for him will become much, and much for the people will be zero. Because who is going to be able to recognize your work? Who has that power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who has that ability? Who has the ability to thank you and appreciate you truly for what you have done except the one who is Almighty, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then by after calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these beautiful titles, there is a turning point in the dua. Then Imam says, وَمَا أَنَا يَا بِأَعْصَى مَنْ أَسَاكَ فَغَفَرْتَ لَهُ. O Allah, I am not the most disobedient of those who have disobeyed you, and whom you hast forgiven, or you have forgiven. Let's take a break to think about these terms and come back.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Our respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, the program Bridge is having reached the final portion of this episode. Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, says, "Ma ana bi'a'sa man asaka faghafarta lah." If someone is reciting this part of the dua with a beautiful voice, with a beautiful tune, this should be enough to bring, to burst us into tears. And Imam Zain al-Abidin says, I am not the most disobedient of those who have disobeyed you and whom you have forgiven. O Allah, I know there have been people with much worse of actions, yet you have forgiven them. It's good to remember stories of someone like Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, the individual who stood against Imam Hussein alayhi salam and did not allow Imam Hussein alayhi salam to move a step beyond Karbala, said, I have been commanded to keep you in Karbala. And if he wasn't there, maybe we can say this certainly, that the tragedy of Karbala wouldn't have taken place. But all of a sudden, on the very final night before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the land of Karbala, all of a sudden he was reminded by the help of God that he has done a great mistake. What did he do? He returned to Imam Hussein, and he became the very first martyr on the day of Ashura. So it is him that if we return to, he will accept us. And it's good to remember that, O Allah, ma ana bi'a'sa man asaka faghafarta lah. I'm not still the worst person that you have forgiven. So there is this light of hope in my heart. Keep that hope alive. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
عید الفطر In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, this is the second part of the two-part program on Eid al-Fitr. If you remember, we said yesterday that Eid al-Fitr is one of the great Islamic feasts and it is very important for Muslims all over the world. Yet, unlike feasts and happy occasions in other communities, Muslims mark their feast, including this one, with prayer and worship of God. This is a kind of thanksgiving before God as He has helped us to fast in the blessed month of Ramadan and worship Him more than other junctures in the year. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in a hadith, "Look, this day is a day which Allah has made it a feast for you and made you deserving towards it. Thus, remember Allah so that He will remember you and call Him so that He will answer you." Remembrance of Allah and supplication to Him is the most important support for human being. But the point to note is that this supplication and relation with God should be accompanied with action. Invocation to God without obeying His commands is like taking the prescription from the doctor and putting it in your pocket. Will this prescription cure you? For sure, you won't be cured unless you fill the prescription and take the medicines. Eid al-Fitr is a great religious ceremony to gather Muslims to praise God and pray to Him. But they are obligated to pay zakat too. This zakat is paid to solve the problems of the poor and the needy. It has other usages too, like revival of the spirit of cooperation, addressing the health, hygienic and cultural conditions of Muslims.
It can be consumed for helping debtors to pay back their debts. It can also be used for building mosques, schools, bridges, hospitals, and so on. Zakat-e-Fitr can be used for bolstering religious beliefs of those with weak faith and help remove ideological ambiguities which are spread by enemies. Paying this zakat, Muslims are indeed putting into practice part of the prayers which they use to read during the month of Ramadan. If zakat is paid with the pure intention of satisfying Allah, it will pave the way for spiritual growth and proximity of Allah. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Make yourselves light to reach your destination." It means that with a light spirit, one can fly towards perfection and get closer to God. Basically, the word aid stems from the root of aud, meaning to return. Accordingly, the days in which a nation or community triumphs and returns to the previous successes are called aid. Eid al-Fitr is the day of unity of Muslims against injustice and oppression. In view of this, the leader of Eid al-Fitr congregational prayer points to the problems and needs of Muslims in Islamic and non-Islamic countries. He touches upon current issues of Islamic communities, such as their relations with other communities and nations, and the intervention of foreigners and ill-wishers. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, once said in the sermons of Eid al-Fitr prayer, "Today, in the international political scene, governments and global powers, on the one hand, and nations and massive popular communities, on the other, there are both beautiful and ugly features. Beautiful features are awakening of nations, Muslim nations' inclination towards Islam and tolerance of the oppressed. And ugly features are oppression of oppressors, bullying of bullies, and conspiracy of ill-wishers of nations." Dear friends, this bullying has been manifested in the region where the inhabitants of Gaza and Rafah will see Eid al-Fitr, while their homes and hearths have been destroyed by the Zionist regime and they have no food and medicine. The ongoing condition in Gaza is an indescribable catastrophe, thought it has fallen on deaf ears and blind eyes, especially among those whose claim of human rights and rights of children and women has deafened world ears for decades. How can one be a Muslim and keep silent and indifferent towards the children who are innocently massacred by Israeli butchers, while their mothers are patiently kissing their children's bloody and soiled faces, asking for help from God? The bombers and fighters of the Zionist regime fly every day over Gaza. They demolish mosques and massacre patients in hospitals. Yet, Gaza has stood robustly like a mountain. This steadfastness has perplexed and maddened the Zionist regime. However, it has doubled the responsibility of Muslim brothers. Muslims are duty-bound to do whatever they can for Gaza. The resistance and steadfastness of the people of Gaza and the support of nations for them shows that there is a bright and promising future, the future of peace and justice, the future of punishing the Zionist criminals and their supporters everywhere. Allah has stressed the victory of the faithful and seekers of truth in several ayahs of the Noble Quran. For instance, in Ayah 24 of Surah Shura, Allah says, Allah will efface the falsehood and confirm the truth with His words. He also says in Ayah 11 of Surah Anbiya, "How many a town we have smashed that had been wrongdoing, and we brought forth another people after it." May Allah favor Muslims to see the liberation of Quds and Palestine with the annihilation of the cancerous tumor Israel. Amen.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Congratulations to those have Eid today, and also congratulations to those who had their Eid yesterday. Mubarak to all of them, or Mabruk to all of them. It's a day of reward. Eid is a day of reward, the day of happiness, the day of joy, the day of celebrating happiness with family, with friends, with neighbors, with all those who have fast in this beautiful month. And there's a beautiful hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, those who have fast in this beautiful month, they are going to get some types of rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those types of rewards? Number one, according to Rasulullah, is the first one is yadhubul haram fi jasadih. Those who have fasted in this month, their haram, if they had some type of haram in their body, in their flesh, that is going to melt down. That is going to melt down. This is number one. Number two, yaqrubu min rahmatillah. Those who have fasted in this month, they are going to be much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than other days, and because of these months, these 30 days or this month, they've already gone a lot of closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next point is yuhavvinullahu alayhi sakarat al-maut. Lots of people are going to have tough time when they are leaving this world. When we are dying, at the time of leaving, that the spirit is leaving our body, some people are going to have tough time. According to hadith, there's two types of death. In one type of death is, it's like you are pulling a cloth from a bush of rose, and this cloth is going to torn up in pieces. So this is tough type of death. And there's another easy death. It is just like a breeze passes through you, and some people die at some moment and die just like this breeze passed by them, and they leave this world easily. So those who have fast in this beautiful month, they are going to have this blessing. You have inullahu alayhi sakarat al-maut. They are not going to have pain of death, because they are going to stay away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove pain from them, pain of death. And the next point, Rasulullah mentioned that, is amanum min ju wal atash fi yawm al-qiyamah. Those who have fasted in the month of Ramadan, they are not going to be thirsty and hungry in the day of judgment. The next point is يُعْتِيهِ اللَّهُ بَرَاءَةً مِنَ النَّارِ. And then the next gift we are going to receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is بَرَاءَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. We are going to stay away from hellfire. Hellfire or fire is not going to touch us, it's not going to see us even though. بَرَاءَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ, you are totally saved from hellfire. And the next and last point, according to this hadith, the last reward we are going to get in this day, the day of Eid, يُعْطِمُهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ تَيِّبَاتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will feed mu'mineen, those who have fasted in this month, from the clean or most cleanest rizq, sustenance of heaven, paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will offer us the best food of Jannah. So these are the blessings, these are the least point. And make sure these are the points of which we can understand. But the mercy of Allah is much, much higher and more than this. We cannot imagine, even though when we go in that place, when we'll see, inshallah. Congratulations to all countries those are having Eid, and those who had yesterday Eid, inshallah. Eid Mubarak to all of you, to all Mu'mineen, to all Muslimin, and may Allah give you His best rewards, inshallah ta'ala, for this dunya and for the hereafter, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.